Comments, Susan Schneider?
Chair Miller, members of the committee, we would continue to urge your support for some form of this bill. I would defer to Representative Markham for some opening comments on this.
Representative Markham, you're here to point out the similarities between Riddle and Portland?
I've been running a track meet around this building. I just stepped in the door. Chairman, did you ask
yes.
me to comment?
Is there any comments you'd care to make on 2845?
I detect from the committee visiting around this last month, they're not exactly giggly about our bill. However, let me reinstate what I said earlier in our first hearing, that I'm really, as you all know, not a real good do-gooder. But when ballot measure 5 came along, this is the thing that occurred to me, that both the sheriffs and the city police departments are going to be cut back, if not this year, the following. And this is a way to maintain some sanity from a public safety standpoint, from my view. And I think it costs nothing, as I understand it. Even the machinery is put in on a percentage basis, the tickets they issue. That'll scare some of you, I'm sure. But it's a no cost, and it's not a mandate. It's an option, and I'd hate to see at least, and your city, the main city, I should say, has been experimenting with it. Certainly the city of Riddle has not, because they don't have a police force. We pay the county sheriff. But I would like to see it move forward in some form. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. Questions? Further comments, Susan?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if your sentiment is to do something less than the total bill, we would certainly be interested in that. I think you heard from representative of our neighborhood groups, it's a serious safety and neighborhood issue in Portland, and we would like to be the guinea pigs if no one else is interested.
Thank you, Representative Mason.
What is the population of the city of Portland?
About 450,000.
If the bill were to confine to cities with population over
300,000,
that would confine it solely to Portland, excluding the Gresham, East Multnomah County area also.
Riddle does not have a population of 300,000.
I don't think so. The last time it was just barely over 1,000.
Do residents of Riddle ever drive to Portland?
Wagon train only.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your winning the 100 meter dash to get back up here and testify.
Thank you. I'll rush back to water.
Thank you. Well, committee.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I
Representative Mason,
I like this bill, and I'm trying to talk the committee into paring it down to just something that allowing Portland to do to itself. And I'm down to 350, a city with 350,000, which is only which leaves two of us on the committee here. I'm trying to get my other vote, but I'd like to hear from some of the other. Representative Parks, can we get your vote if we're down to just?
Well, you know, really, my objection is that there is no way to defend against that ticket when you get it weeks down the road. And the secondary objection is I don't think we should be putting a private company in the business of generating revenue for the private company.
Sounds like awfully Republican. I mean,
well, I actually, so Republican, I was going to ask the name of the company. They were on the stock exchange. There are four companies, huh? Well, but that's really my basic objection. Is, you can cut down crime if you put TVs in people's houses and see what they did and then send them a ticket when we've had that in a novel. But this doesn't seem that much different to me than that.
Well, remember those pictures, they seem to show relatively clearly who the driver was. I mean, you could almost, let me ask the council there, would it be a good defense if you came in and said, I wasn't driving the car, here in the picture it shows me not driving, that's not me? That's a 500-pound person with bleach blonde afro, and I'm it's a little tiny thing with dark hair. I mean, you obvious from the photo, would that be a good defense?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, yes, it certainly would be a defense. And the way the system is set up, there's an opportunity for someone to come in before going to trial to say to the police bureau to say, this is not me, in which case the citation would be dismissed. If they wanted to go to trial, a judge would certainly dismiss the citation if the driver wasn't the person cited.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sunseri.
I don't think that whether the person in the photo is identifiable or not is the defense. That's not the point. The point is that if it isn't, or whether it is, I have to go down and take my time to prove that I'm not. I'm guilty before proven innocent rather than innocent before proven guilty. And I've got to take time out of my schedule to go down and to prove that I wasn't the one in that picture to get it dismissed.
Mr. Chair, but I, for the life of me, I don't see how that differs from you going by a radar gun and somebody pulls out and gives you a citation.
Because you get the ticket right there.
Yeah, that's right.
You're right there within, you know, 5 minutes, you're right there with the policeman. And the way you're suggesting doing it, you're going to get a lot of people and they're going to pay the $30. And they're going to say to themselves, you know, it's either $30 or $150 to go down to court and fool around. And you're going to create more disrespect for the law mm-hmm. with that one kind of a provision than you could with anything else.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sunseri.
Another concern is that while we're told that it's not revenue producing, I think that there's certainly the potential for it to be just exactly that. And if there's going to be a police officer in a van operating this machine, punching off pictures and sending out tickets, if he's there on the scene operating the van, then why couldn't he be there operating a gun and stopping people who are violating? And the answer to that I've received is because he can't do as many tickets, because he can punch more pictures if he's sitting in the van. Well, obviously that's revenue producing, or at least it sounds like it to me.
Well, the essence of the bill is the citation by mail, if I analyze it. And I'm not, to be very frank, I don't want to get cute, but I'm not so sure you couldn't do that right now. But that's the answer. Because these are not criminal citations. These are,
let them do it right now and let them see how many people think that's the way our laws are.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, I think to me the issue really is that if you want to put this in a van and you want to put a policeman down the road so that the person that's going to get fined by the state, and I don't care if you call it a fine or an infraction, has an adequate opportunity to know what they're charged with and to propose some kind of realistic defense, then I wouldn't object to it. I don't care if they use that machine or a handheld radar, and they do that on the freeways with chase cars, and I think that's all right, because you have an adequate opportunity. This is just to mass produce tickets, and you're going to get it 2 and 3 weeks later, and you can't tell me where you were 2 weeks ago at this time. Well, I mean, you can't even tell me if you were in this committee, I'll bet you.
Well,
so what kind of a
representative
job is either here or there? But
Representative Mason, I'm getting the sense we need some time to study the options that have been presented.
Ma'am, one final rejoinder. There wouldn't be the mass-produced tickets if you didn't have a mass of people going by that particular location at a significantly illegal speed. So let us not forget that notwithstanding all this... Notwithstanding all this, the basis of this is a lot of people speeding, and I just want to, I can read here and I can count. I won't suffer you guys with these notes I'm getting, but I think that if this speeding didn't occur, it wouldn't happen here at all, and I just find this extremely efficient, and it's gonna, and I think in the long run, notwithstanding, it's going to slow a lot of people down because you're going to automatically you're going to get dinged. I don't even think you need the officer in the car. I just let him hook it up to a computer and just let it send it out. I'd have it posted on the street in a metal box, and you'd be really efficient. But in case, of course,
they'd use it for target practice and grading.
Well, that too, maybe. But anyway, I, Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to move on to another bill. This has been lots of fun.
Thank you, Representative Mason and committee members. We will, unless there's anything further, we will adjourn the the work session on House Bill 2845. We'll open open a work session, Senate Bill 638.
Mr. Chair, we're in a work session.
We are in a work session. Council was perhaps going to...
Council has done a very good job on these amendments.
She gets pretty distressed if I don't allow her the lead-off opportunity. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you've been provided with a copy of the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 638. I will just review them briefly and then note one minor drafting error. Section 1, the dash A3 amendments are basically a rewrite of the bill as the committee moved it last week. So the committee members ought to be reading off of the A3s and set aside the original bills. Section 1 is the new language that was inserted dealing with preemption and superiority of state law with the exceptions in 2A and 2B. Section 2 talks about cities and counties regulating possession in public buildings as defined in 166.360. That was the new language that was inserted. Specific changes that were made at the committee's last hearing had to do with the deletion of state parks and state facilities within that section because the counties, cities and counties don't have a jurisdiction over state entities. The committee also changed peace officers on line 5, page 2. The bill originally said law enforcement officers. It was brought to the committee's attention that state police were not covered. This definition has that in it. Section 3 is the part of the bill dealing with unlawful use of a weapon. The committee changes, just specifically, line 17 has the new language about city limits. Line 19 has the new language about occupied buildings. Lines 18, 19, and 20 have all the commas that were inserted. One error that came about was that the committee, based on the fact that the initial bill did not have a city limitation in it and was cross-jurisdictional, deleted on page 3, lines 11, the words upon or. Because the section 3 of the bill speaks only to city limits, it's recommended that that language be reinserted if the committee wants to still have it as a violation as it was before or as current law states, so that one cannot shoot a firearm across a highway. But that is currently a violation. Because the committee did one, and then we didn't go back and revisit this particular issue.
Thank you, counsel. Representative
Baum?
Learned
counsel.
She's not here.
Okay, she's not here. That kind of Dave's not here?
What?
Nothing.
All right.
On the one more time, will you please run through what recommended changes you want to the dash A3 amendments?
Page 3, line 11, reinsertion of the words upon or.
Okay. What other changes did you have on the amendments?
That's it. These are accurate in terms of the work of the committee.
Okay.
That came about only because the committee originally adopted what's now section 3 of the and 4 of the bill, but there was a crossover between discharge in public places that was a felony and discharges that was a violation under section 4 of the bill. Because section 3 is now limited to cities, there is a hole in the statute, and all this does is reinsert current law that says it's a violation if you're out shooting within the parameters of the statute.
Thank you, Representative Baum.
So it remains a violation.
Correct.
All right, we're just a little more clear that you can't stand upon or shoot across.
Correct. And it's just reinserting current.
Right, because
the current law.
We need to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I have a comment, Mr. Chair?
Representative Mason?
Yeah. I want to. I talked to the chair of the floor earlier about this bill, and I just wanted to bring the committee and
chair up to date where I've been. I've been lobbied very, very explicitly and heavily on this bill in between now and floor session. And I'm getting and having real reservations about the preemption language. I support preemption, I support the bill, but I've got real reservations about putting this in. I've gotten some strong messages from the other side of the building here that this is not going to go over. This is going to cause more problems than not. And I just...
Representative Mason, could you...
I appreciate their historical reluctance to deal with this issue.
Well, I realize that, but I just, you know, it's suddenly gotten to a certain intensity. I didn't realize it was going to get.
Representative Mason, can I ask a question, Mr. Mason?
Representative Baum.
What is the problem with the preemption language we have in the bill?
Well, I have no problem at all with the preemption language. I have a problem with, at this point in the legislative dialogue, sending something directly to the floor of the Senate. Now, this is kind of, I don't know if it's time to go nuclear, which is what we're doing.
Well, it's that or we never get the preemption bill heard.
Well, let me just, I don't want to, you know, steal anybody's thunder, but I don't, you know, the survival time of this bill on the Senate floor on the concurrence vote, I predict will be about 15 seconds.
Well, that's fine.
And then I don't think you'll ever see, remember, this is a Senate bill, and so the Senate will control the conference committees, and it will be a Senate conference committee chair on this bill. I would suspect that you'll never see it again. And all you have done is just have to exacerbate numerous members of the Senate.
Mr. Representative Mason, I just...
Exacerbate the situation.
It seems to me that one of the things we've been very careful about, is with respect to the 638 language that came here, we have improved it and we haven't violated the contents, really the spirit of what was embodied in that legislation. What we are simply trying to do is give the full Senate an opportunity to deal with a preemption bill that probably a great number, I don't know whether it's majority or not, have said at one time or another they support. But they're never given the option to vote on that support, so long as it's, if we do House Bill 2577, you know, let's be pretty candid about it, they'll never deal with it. So this is an opportunity, and if they say no, as you predict they will, I guess all that comes out of that is the public has an indication of who really is for preemption and who isn't.
Well, if I might, Mr. Chairman, I just, you know, I'll shut up here in a minute. The bill, the drive-by shooting bill, is a good little bill. It's an excellent bill, and we passed it out last session, and I'd like to see the bill. But what I think will happen is that, senators are peculiar. You got to deal with them, and they're spoiled. They're probably, you know, they're all the nasty things that they are over there, and they're overly sensitive. They have no humility whatsoever. And what will happen is.
This should improve our relationship.
What will happen is that what will be invoked on the floor, the issue will not be preemption.
Be procedure.
The issue will be the House, and they will, as I described the muskox phenomenon, they will like the muskoxes kind of make a circle, put their butts in, and lower their heads. And defend the committee process more than anything. So,
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead,
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Enough said.
You can run, but you can't hide in certain circumstances. Try to put on whatever clothing you want. We can still tell what it is they're going to deal with. And I guess those they answer to will determine whether or not they should have been going off haranguing about the procedure as opposed to the clear policy statement in the bill, one of which they've already subscribed to in 638 and we've improved upon, and one is preemption that they've never wanted to deal with, but they'll get the opportunity.
Sure.
That's one of the things about, not the isn't a gut and stuff. This is a simple add-on of a pretty fundamental issue.
Chair, I need to work.
Representative Bond.
Would the committee consider on page 2, line 19 of the bill? I'm not.
The amendments.
The dash 3A, A3 amendments on page 2, line 19. Would it be helpful if after the phrase any person, we added, and I'm not sure about the words, but or dwelling unit? I want to amend the A3, see if I amend it, I'll adopt it, but oh, whatever.
Well, we don't have it before us.
Oh, we can always amend the amendment, then amend about the amendment.
The A3.
Well, okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash A3 amendment. A3
Representative Baum moves the amendments, the dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 638 engrossed discussion.
Yep, Mr. Chair.
Representative Baum.
I wonder if the committee could consider, I'm looking at the same area, and if Representative Baum would consider it to be a friendly amendment to his motion on line 17, eliminating within the city limits of any city, and dropping down to lines 19 and 20, eliminating the word occupied.
Yeah, I want to deal with that, but I want to adopt the amendment first, then tinker with those languages in there.
Fine.
Is that a
objection to the adoption of the amendments?
The amendments are the A3s?
The dash A3s. It'll be further amended, I predict.
Tinker with it.
Okay. Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Baum.
I just finish up my point, then Representative Obama can have her shot at it. This is what I'm concerned about.
Line 19, page
2. Line 19, page 2. I think that anybody that shoots at a person or a dwelling unit, meaning a residence that may be unoccupied, a home, an apartment complex with bodies, people in it that are living there. So I would propose that we have in the direction of any person or dwelling unit. Now, that might not be a good choice of terms. That then you got an occupied building structure or vehicle, because unfortunately in my country, and I know this is tough to explain, we have a lot of abandoned vehicles that are out there in the countryside, which are shot full of holes regularly by people who do whatever they want to do. For whatever reason, it just happens. And if you were to remove the word occupied from the rest of those, you'd have those people committing three felons who are simply out there at target practicing.
May I point out something?
Yeah.
Representative Mason?
On line 19, I would maintain that the word occupied, because it's included within the two commas, does not modify all three. It modifies building.
Yeah. That's the other issue that you have right there.
It's occupied building, comma, structure or vehicle.
I was just about to move to correct that so that it did apply to all three.
Yeah, that's the. But I want to make sure that dwelling units, apartments, and people's homes, whether they're there or not, people drive by and shoot at them, because they are dwelling units, and you know, one man or woman's homes, the castles, shouldn't be open targets for people wheeling by. But the same token, an unoccupied car that someone goes by and crashes a window on with whatever reason is a criminal mischief one, and not a C felony.
Does that apply, Representative Baum, out in your country, that you don't think people should shoot at dwelling units?
I don't think they should shoot at any place where someone's living, or just because they're not home that time.
Yeah,
but a vacant building that's out there that someone puts a target up against to shoot at, they'd be C felon, because it's a building, it's a structure. Or a car that's abandoned. I mean, this is just craziness, but I drove out on the country road, and lo and behold, off the side of the road is this old beat-up car, and just, it looks like it's been through Bonnie and Clyde, you know? And it was just because some kids had dropped off the road there and just set up some targets and had some fun, and they'd all be C felons under the bill.
So you want to insert after the word person dwelling?
Person or dwelling unit. Person, I guess it would accomplish, that would cover, in my opinion, apartments and residences.
And Representative Johnson, you were going to...
I think we could just add three words there, dwelling unit or... And then the word occupied that follows or would modify building, structure, and vehicle, all three. So we'd have, they would read, or in the direction of any person, comma, dwelling unit, comma, or occupied building, structure, or vehicle.
Well, does that take care of what Representative Mason thought was the shortcoming of that particular phraseology?
You don't think it does?
No, just put occupied.
Doesn't?
I don't think so. I think you could still interpret it as being structure.
You think you need occupied in front of each of those words?
I think so.
Well, that would be, that would certainly make it clear.
Learned?
I think by making it its own phrase, it, the modifier applies to all three. We put the word in front of it. If you don't put the word
well, that removes any doubt. Doesn't it, Learned?
Yes. It does not remove any doubt.
Whether that's required or not, it removes the doubt.
However,
is that,
Mr. Chair, yeah.
Representative Baum?
For Representative Baum, the reason I asked the question, and I didn't mean it to sound facetious because it's not, and I'm sure that there are a lot of items of understanding between LeGrand and Southeast Portland, but this wouldn't apply in Representative Baum's, excuse me, Baker's, where are you from, Representative Baum?
LeGrand.
This wouldn't apply out there in the country. This wouldn't apply out there in the country because up on line 17 it says within the city limits of any city.
Well,
or is that just referring to firearms, blowguns, bows and arrows, crossbows, air rifles, and explosive devices, and you could, and it could be a violation if it were some other device out in the country? Well, I don't know. If I was living out in the country in a dwelling unit that was not within city limits, I might be offended that this law didn't cover me.
You'd have a gun and shoot back, though.
But those vehicles move pretty fast, Representative Park. And there's not going to be any photo radar out there
that's
to
right.
keep track of who's,
we know that.
Who's
thank
doing
God.
What.
Representative, are you done? Representative Baumann?
Well, yeah, my point is that I'd like to add to Representative Baum's suggestion, the suggestion that we take out the words within the city limits of any city on line 17.
Well, let's deal with, excuse me, Mr. Chair.
We yes. already passed that
Representative
motion last.
Baum?
Let's figure out how this thing really reads without any changes in that paragraph. The question is do you have to be within the city limits of any city to be charged with this shooting in the direction of any person, occupied building, or structure? Is that in or without the city? The question is the operative word or on line 19, third word in?
Well, if it doesn't, if I might, Mr. Chairman, if it doesn't, it means that then anybody who discharges a firearm within a city,
from a public right of way, in a public place,
commits a felony. Even if you're not, when I was young and living out in the country, tradition had it every New Year's Eve, you go out and unload your shotgun out into the air, 12 o'clock. And if you read it like that, that makes that a felony. I can't even go along with that. Well, I'm important. The point is that if either reads, the, if it reads,
I'm a vehicle.
Let me tell you. At. Mr. Chair, Representative.
Right away, you walk in the street and unload, you know, in fact, you're in the sidewalk.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, the operative language in the statute, well, one of the key places of operative language is line 19, the words at or in the direction of. So if you were standing on your street corner and shooting the gun straight up, the provisions of this would not apply. Now, depending upon where you were standing, it may be that the violation section of Section 4 of the bill would apply, but as what becomes a felony offense in the way that this bill now reads is if you are within city limits and you are in a car or in a vehicle in a public place and you are shooting at something that there is likely to be a person there, because it was my understanding of the committee amendment that occupied, modified building, structure, or vehicle, that the intent of the bill was if you were in a public place or a public location and shooting at somebody, that the provisions of this bill would apply.
If you're in a city limit.
If you were in a city limit.
I agree, but I was trying to illustrate if it wasn't like that,
that's important.
Then that's just important. Just walking outside the city limits and firing
up
the air.
Do you think that's clear enough?
Yes.
Well, that must be what I assume that the Senate intended would have to be within the city limits, so.
No, they didn't put city limits in.
They took it out. Mr. Chair, Representative Baum, the bill came to the Senate with a population limitation, and which was removed by the Senate at the request of Senator Brockman, I believe.
I read that.
I happen to know that before I read it.
Oh, we got potential here. Okay.
Representative Baum?
Well, I just would like to move the amendment that was suggested by Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson, we would go ahead and move it on line 19 that we...
After the word person?
Insert the word or dwelling unit, comma, occupied building, occupied structure, or occupied vehicle.
Representative Baum moves that on line 19 after the word person we insert or dwelling unit, and preceding the word structure, the word occupied, and on line 20 preceding the word vehicle, the word occupied. Discussion of the amendment. Sir, Council.
Mr. Chair, Representative Baum, within the burglary and criminal trespass statutes, there's a definition of dwelling, which states means a building which is regularly or intermittently occupied by a person lodging therein at night, whether or not the person's actually present. Is that the definition you're intending to use?
Yeah.
Take off the word unit, then. Just say dwelling.
That's what I was going to suggest, but there is, and I can, if the committee's more comfortable, I don't know that we need it.